Hello, Dale speaking. This is India.
Dale speaking. This is Rue.
Dale speaking. This is Amber.
Ring, ring. Dale speaking.
And then we'll have you do the deaf person or the blind person audio. Rue points at a lamp. Welcome to Radio Dale number 58.
This week in music history, happy birthday to this Dale speaking artist.
On who charted the most added songs on radio.
For Rue's 60-second tip of the week, live video in your EPK.
For our roundtable discussion, the anti-Valentine's Day sleigh list.
Yes.
And for our song of the week, we've got the Love Locks with Teardrop Tattoo.
Very good.
All right.
Let's go.
Okay.
This week.
Music history. My favorite part.
Oh, someone's back.
Oh.
Huh?
You weren't here last week.
Oh,
that's right.
I was on vacation.
Amber was on vacation in the worst state of the nation.
Florida.
And to celebrate, we're going to do This Week in Music History. February 13th, 1976, born on this day, Leslie Feist, Canadian singer-songwriter who worked with Peaches and Broken Social Scene, and her first radio hit was courtesy of Dale Speaking.
Yay!
Well, she wrote.
Well, it wasn't her song.
It wasn't her song, it was Peaches. But it was her first hit.
Yes. Sing it for us, Rue.
Look, inside and out. That's it.
February 4th. That was good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. February 14th, 1998, Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On set a new recorded... That says recorded, and it should say record. Who writes these things? It set a new record for the most radio plays in the U.S. with 116 million plays in 1 week. Valentine's Day, My Heart Will Go On. Do you see where we're going with this, people?
I see it.
Vomit.
And there was enough room on that plank for both of them in Titanic. He didn't have to die. Go.
February 15th, 1968, the day after Love Day, John and Cynthia Lennon, along with George and Patty Harrison, flew to India to study meditation with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Paul and Ringo joined them a few days later, but Ringo Starr would become bored and leave on March 1st, comparing the experience to be like a Butlins holiday camp. Much of the Beatles' White Album was written during their stay.
Huh.
So, since we've had such a big Beatles week
this
week with the anniversary of Ed Sullivan.
And Ringo had some sense, as we get hate letters. February 16th, 1964. The Beatles made their second live appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly 1 week after the first. I guess they got called, it was like an encore. Before an audience of 3,500 at the Deauville Hotel in Miami Beach, Florida, the Beatles performed She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. This Boy, All My Loving. I saw her standing there. I believe they covered that
I
from
saw.
Tiffany.
Oh.
From Me to You, and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
I want to hold
your hand. Anyways.
Do you know that at the first appearance, they paid the people to act excited in the audience?
Really?
Yep.
But really, inside they were dying.
This is horrible!
February 17th, 1966, Nancy Sinatra was number one on the UK singles chart with These Boots Are Made for Walking. Frank's eldest daughter, first number one. Written by Lee Hazelwood, Sinatra's recording of the song was made with the help of Los Angeles session musicians known as the Wrecking Crew.
Yes.
Sounds like pre-Motley Crew.
Pre-Motley Crew.
That's the dads of Motley Crew.
I saw a play where the play was actually you were in a beauty shop. And that was a stage, and they actually did your nails, but really badly. And you walked around getting your hair done, and they kind of talked to you funny. But they'd occasionally break out and do songs. One of them was a French translation of These Boots Are Made for Walking.
These boots are made for, and that's just what they'll do.
One of these days, these boots are going to walk out.
February 18th. February 18th, 1966. Beach Boy Brian Wilson recorded the future classic song Good Vibrations, which went on to become the band's third U.S. number one hit. As a child, Brian's mother told him that dogs could pick up vibrations from people so that the dog would bark at bad vibrations. Ah. Wilson turned this into a general idea for the song.
That's so cool.
I like the dogs.
I love
involved.
That.
Yes.
Yay. Dogs should be involved in everything.
Yes.
February 19th, 2004. Johnny Cash's family blocked an attempt by advertisers to use his hit song, Ring of Fire, to promote hemorrhoid relief products. The idea was said to have been blocked by Merle Kilgore, who co-wrote the song with Cash's wife, June Carter Cash. Cash's daughter, Roseanne Barr, said the family would never allow the song to be demeaned like that. I kind of agree.
Yeah. Did you see the thing that she just put out on social media about how she totally got gypped for royalty checks?
Yeah.
So sad. She made like 1 cent off of something.
And that I will just show my general ignorance. I did not know they were related, but now I know.
Rue, I'm shocked. But we won't judge you for that.
Yay, thank you. All right, now it's time for Who Charted?
And you know who charted? Once again, a lot of people.
As it should be.
This week, we're going to take a look at the Mediabase most added list of tracks. Nice. So basically, every week, Mediabase compiles the songs that have received the most ads being the song being played on radio stations. So they compile all of the play, and they figure out who got the most play, not based by spins, but just by new spins. So here we go. Numero, how do you say seven in Spanish?
Siete? Something like that.
Number seven.
There you go.
And you'll find that with a lot of these numbers, there's a lot of artists that share the spot because it's common for a lot of people to have the same amount. So number seven, we've got American Authors with Best Day of My Life, Bobby Wills with Crazy Enough, Lord with Team, and Sam Roberts' band, Human Heat.
Mm. I thought Sam Roberts had a new song called Just Band.
Sam Roberts'
band. Sam Roberts' band.
Band. Robert, Sam.
And they all received five ads each, according to Minibase.
Yeah.
Number six, Bruno Mars with Young Girls, Down with Webster, Chills, Enrique Iglesias, I'm a Freak, Florida Georgia Line, This Is How We Roll, Megan Smith, Have a Heart, Monster Truck, Old Train, and they all received six ads.
Is Megan Smith, did she win the Juno?
She's
won the Juno. Yeah, she won the Best New Artist.
Oh, well, here she comes.
Nice.
Number five, Headley, Crazy For You.
Ooh.
Jason Derulo, Talk Dirty. Miranda Lambert, Automatic. They all received seven ads. Number four, we've got Sabel, Till the Sun Burns Out. Shakira featuring Rihanna, Can't Remember to Forget You. U2, Invisible. And Virginia to Vegas, We Are Stars. They all received eight ads each. Number three, we've got Cash Cash with Take Me Home.
I love Cash Cash. Just to interject, I fell in love with them, and I've done nothing but listen to them for the last week.
Well, they're the number three most added on Canadian radio.
Rue, like, put his hands to his
very
face.
Very happy.
When that happened.
When she said the first Cash, I'm like,
that's it.
Will there be a second one?
And the second one is Christina Maria with More Like a Soldier. Both of those songs received nine ads. The second most added track is Aloe Black with The Man. He's had 10 ads. And number one, drumroll. Pharrell Williams with Happy, and it's 12 ads. And good. I must say, I heard that a lot when I was in America last week.
Oh.
They really like that song?
Yeah. So is the most added tracks on Canadian radio.
Very cool.
This week.
And I must say, I am happy that Happy is the number one song.
Happy, happy.
There's no music in that song, right? Isn't it just a beat and him singing?
And people going, I'm happy.
Right, yeah. But there's actually no music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should analyze
but
that.
But what is the definition of music?
Bjork.
Instruments or computers?
Yes.
Instruments, you mean?
And the internet is tubes. We've all learned something
today. We are so
knowledgeable. All right. For my second attempt at doing one of these without a proper script. This is Rue's 60-second tip of the week. So I'm going to talk about how a Sonic Bids article from June 2013 talked about the importance of adding live video to your EPK. Now, what's an EPK? It's an electronic press kit. You put songs, you put press photos, bio reviews, contact info, tour and release information. Basically, you're trying to tell people everything about you so they can write about you. Now, they suggested you should put live video into it as well, so you could give promoters assurance that your live show doesn't suck.
That's actually...
So, the four main things to include are live sound, to show that you have musicianship, to your draw, actually have shots of the crowd to show that you're full, stage presence, put on a good show, and professionalism, will the venue be trashed at the end? And basically they say you should think about it not only as promoting your band, but as promoting your live performance.
That's very smart. Interesting.
Was going to interrupt you, and then I realized, no, this is 60 seconds. I never thought about that, but that's such a great, like, that's such a better way to sell yourself.
It's neat, because, like...
Rather than people's camera videos, too, that can sound horrible.
Exactly. Online. Or you have reviews of your album and your songs that sound great, they say nothing about what your live show is. So, if you have a good live show... You should do this. If it's not so good, fix it and then add it.
Yeah, don't make an EPK. Don't do anything.
Don't make an EPK.
If you suck live, don't do anything.
We get so negative.
Read Bob Left's sets. He'll tell you.
He'll tell you how bad you are.
You can't perform live.
He's going to listen to this. We're going to have so much trouble. So we are on to the round table.
Right.
Things move fast here these days.
Did we get the Dale?
Yeah, let's get the Dale.
India has to the go soon, also.
Yes, you have at least the 5 minutes.
I have
the... Okay. I'll keep this in.
Let me go first.
Yeah, you go first.
I'll back out. You'll keep this in? Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's kind of neat, like, should we bring in the Dale, the Dale conversation, and then you just hear you in the distance
talking
about it.
That's awesome.
Leave that in. Alrighty. We each have our own song, and what we're doing to celebrate Valentine's Day.
Celebrate,
is to look at the dark side. And we're going to do a roundtable where we talk about our favorite anti-love songs.
Oh, I love this.
Yes, so this is very exciting. I don't know about all of you, but some may appear to almost be love songs, but actually aren't. Mm-hmm. Some might be blatantly breakup angry songs. We'll see what we all chose. We're going to start with India.
I was really torn, and I don't know.
It's all right, I'm torn.
No. Okay, can I say my two between?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to go with Bon Jovi, This Ain't a Love Song. But it actually is a song. They just cleverly titled it the other way. So then I thought, what's the more angsty? So I'm going with Joan Jett, I Hate Myself for Loving You.
Oh.
Ouch.
Uh-huh. So why,
not that I feel that way at the moment.
Why did you choose that? Does it speak to you?
She's just so kick-ass. Who? Insert beep there.
Oh, no, we're not beeping this season.
Oh, okay. No beeping? She's so fantastic.
Yeah.
Who can't, like, Midnight, Where Are You? There's a line in between there. But Midnight, Up All Night, Waiting All Night, Where Are You?
Definitely an angry anti-love song.
Yeah. Are we going to bring up a clip of it?
Of course, right here. There it was.
Oh, that was so good.
She's fantastic.
Excellent. So let's just go around. Dale, tell us your anti-love song.
It says you pitched it in the beginning. It is a love song, but it is also an anti-love song. And it would be Chet Baker's Pretty Valentine.
That sounds like a love song, Dale.
It does, but when you listen to the words themselves... doesn't sound like a love song. It's very, I don't know if it's hate, but there's some anger there for sure. It's a beautiful song, and I always sing that line to my girl I sing every Valentine, but that would be the song.
And if we were to hear what it sounds like.
My funny Valentine. Sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my heart. Your look mistakes are laughable, unphotographable, yet you're my favorite work of art.
Excellent.
Dale, you're such a good singer.
Thank you.
Amber, your anti-love song?
I went with I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Very cool.
So, such an original choice.
And this song has been performed by many, many people, including the wonderful Marvin Gaye.
And?
You also have Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. You have Gladys Knight and the Pips. One of my favorite versions as well is from Creedence Clearwater Revival,
yes,
which is 11 minutes long. It was originally written in 1966 by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong.
Okay.
And the original performance was Smokey Robinson, but they didn't like it. And then Gladys Knight and the Pips did it, and it went to number two. And before that, Marvin Gaye had done it, and they had rejected it.
Huh.
And Marvin Gaye did it, and they were like, after Gladys Knight, and they're like, all right, let's
cool.
go put it out there. And it's had some really, really cool accolades. Went to top of the Billboard Pop Singles chart for 7 weeks in 1968. Biggest hit single on the Motown label.
Huh.
And it was placed on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. And it was inducted in the Grammy Hall of Fame for historical, artistic, and significant value.
Very cool.
But it's just an awesome song because he's just got his heart broke. Or whoever sang it got their heart broke.
And they heard it from someone else.
They heard
else.
It through the grapevine.
Oh.
Yes.
Now there's a better version of Marvin Gaye's, The California Raisins.
Yes, that was also mentioned. All my information's in Wikipedia. I also saw California Raisins on there.
But didn't mention it because it wasn't one of your favorites.
It's the best. Did they ever make little purple Marvin Gaye toys? No. They were always the California Raisins.
And we'll listen to it now.
So, my turn. This one, the artist who wrote it actually said, I've always left myself pretty open to interpretation. It's probably better that they think it's a love song at this point. He also said this song is incredibly violent,
huh,
and it's very clear it's about using people over and over again.
Oh, dear.
And the song is The One I Love by R.E.M. This one goes out to the one I love.
Right.
So few lyrics in this song. This one goes out to the one I left behind. Still sounds
kind of
like a love song.
That's kind of
but
a happy
then there's
sense.
That line. A simple prop to occupy my time.
Oh.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Oh.
It was the first hit single for R.E.M. Went to number 9 on the Hot 100, number 14 in Canada. And it has been misidentified as a love song for years because people forget
to listen to the
yeah.
lyrics.
Which is extra funny because there's only like 4 lines repeated through the entire thing. If you exclude him screaming fire, which also is kind of not love-like.
You don't know how bad I want to go into my desk and listen to this now.
Well, how about we listen to it here right now instead?
That would be great.
This one goes out to this one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love. Fire!
Oh, they're we go.
Excellent.
Well, that's a neat choice, Rue.
Yeah, I was.
You know a lot of songs.
Trying to think of what love song do I know is not a love song, and this one just came up.
It's interesting what we all went through. Like, you guys did that. You were kind of tricky. And then Indy and I went for, like, the girls went for, like, the straight up, you know.
But I didn't realize that I think of the California Raisins doing that song. It's a great, great song.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a hardship song. I just thought it was information that was heard, let alone the REM that you were saying.
Yeah.
I didn't know that would be a heartbreak song
either.
It's
always the second line, because I heard it through the grapevine, how much longer would she be mine? And almost always skip other parts of lyrics.
Yeah. It's basically she cheated on him and he heard it through the grapevine. And it's she went for a guy she used to love over him. And he said, if you just told me, why didn't you just tell me I had to hear it through the grapevine? And I think those lyrics are just so amazing. And I was reading the history of that phrase, and it's way back, I think, in slavery, when the way they would communicate, people would communicate, was through the grapevine, verbally. That's how they would pass on information, was through the grapevine, they call it. So
it comes from the slavery days, I heard it through the grapevine?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that either.
Yeah. So, just as a follow-up question to the three remaining people, India disappeared into thin air because she's a magician. Why do you think people like us revel in the anti-side of things like Valentine's Day? Why do some people see Valentine's Day and think, no, I want to think of the exact opposite, the anti-love song?
Probably because it's more fun. Three of us here, we're all in long-term relationships and happy, I'm assuming. So,
correct.
For me personally, I get more fun out of pointing and laughing at people that are sappy. Sorry if either of you are those people. And I don't.
We are.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying. Like, I did get mad one year I didn't get a card, but I'm not looking for anything special. But it's just more fun to kind of make fun of it.
Yeah.
That's for me.
Oh, I totally
get
that.
Yeah.
I find I used to love Valentine's Day then till I realized that every day should be Valentine's Day with the one you love. So to me, Valentine's Day is more, it's more about maybe just doing something special with the one you love, but there certainly isn't a lot of hoopla around it. I know that Deborah and I, we both send each other cards, but that's about it. But then that's not true. We bought a bunch of other stuff for the house, and so we joined stuff together. But I just find it that it's such a marketing ploy, and there's just so much junk out there, and and roses are double the price, and, you know, and, you know, and if you're showing your love only once a day, on that day, well, then I don't think you have much of a relationship. Plus,
once a year.
Exactly.
Once a day, I got flowers. Okay.
Yeah, once a day. Now, the other fact that I didn't know about, because I hear this I've heard it a couple times on the news, is that the day after Valentine's Day is also a very big day for misters or mastresses.
What?
I made that up.
Mastresses.
So, in other words, if you have another person in your life besides your partner,
the 15th
is a big day, because you better make sure you're taking care of that other person also.
Oh, dear.
There's also a celebration on March 14th, which you can look up, and it is men's Valentine's Days.
Like me as a female?
Yeah. Should I say it? I might have to bleep it. We'll cut it out.
Oh, I know what day it is. Ew.
It's steak and a special treat day.
Blue Jay.
Steak. And that's where the audio commentary would come in to explain what Dale just did.
Dale just put his hand towards his mouth and did backward and forward motion.
Which means I'm enjoying a lollipop.
Yes, very true. So, last thing. Maybe this will fall on its butt, but what is your Valentine's tradition, if you have one, or most memorable Valentine's Day?
Start with you.
Start with me. Our tradition now is that every year we go to a Brazilian restaurant.
Oh.
And we started about 3 years ago. Aww. So we go to get where they basically walk around with skewers of meat and throw it on our plate until you beg them to stop. And we do that. And there's a place in Toronto called Rodeo.
Oh,
okay. And they have samba dancers and capoeira martial arts demonstrations.
Oh my, while you're eating?
While you're eating, just in the middle. And they always get kids doing it too. And they have a live band playing the whole night.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I've got nothing.
You got nothing?
Usually my significant other is working. So Maybe we'll go for dinner on another day, but typically we're not together on the same day, working schedule-wise, so, which will be the case this year, so.
What about in high school or public school? Did you ever get a memorable Valentine?
You know what I used to love was, and I wish we as adults did it now, was the little, you get your little paper bag, tape it to your desk, and you would get the Valentines from all your schoolmates.
The little cards, like, yeah.
That just makes me so happy. I loved that. And I see them at the store and I just want to buy them because you would get like Scooby-Doo or like you would want the best ones to sign yourself.
They always had weird ones like He-Man and stuff like that too.
And they would say really funny things on them. I wish, because some of them are so funny how they make them. Like in The Simpsons, it was like, I choose you. And it was a train. But anyway, but the one thing, and then the bad memory would be when everyone would get the candy grams, what do you call them?
Yeah,
and
I think never get candy grams. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. But I'd never send them either, so.
Dale?
Deborah and I really don't have anything special for Valentine's Day. Although, anything that we bought for the apartment or the house, or I'm giving her a new battery for her phone for Valentine's Day.
That's good.
Yeah. How things change.
Only because we already bought flowers. We're not eating chocolate all of February. We're not eating all the foods that we love to eat all the time. So
the bad foods.
The chips and all that. I mean, which are the most fun foods. So
yeah.
We're going to enjoy watching season 2 of House of Cards.
There you go.
That's what we're going to do.
See, quality time. That's what it's
We're going to spend time together, and I think that's how we picture Valentine's Day. Otherwise, we don't like the...
It's like I said, making a huge... Like, a dinner is perfect. Watching movies, like, it's just keeping it simple. But the idea of the expectations some people have, and if you have them, great. But, you know?
Yeah.
And...
Well, if you're going to get if you're expecting a necklace or a diamond ring or... $1,000 in chocolates,
we just got
or
back
a new
Florida,
car.
There's no money for that.
I mean, I think that's. I don't know if anybody else sees through all that sort of stuff, but it's like it just was Christmas, and so now all of a sudden, like,
I need more stuff.
And the idea of getting on your knee to ask your beloved to get married on a Valentine's Day is a total cop out.
So barf.
It's terrible. Same like New Year's Eve or Christmas. You don't do that then, otherwise it doesn't make anything special, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Actually, funny side note, I was reading on Reddit about the worst marriage proposal ever, and this guy proposed to his girlfriend at another person's wedding.
That's a common thing. Like,
that's
don't be fooled
horrible,
that was just
really?
The one.
That's a
that,
horrible thing to
and
do.
I, like, before Mike proposed to me, he got a list of do nots, and it was, not that he was planning to, like, but to do it, but I said, no person's wedding, and not in front of my family, not in front of my friends, and pretty much not in front of anybody.
Do not do it on a Jumbotron.
Yeah, no Jumbotrons. Yeah. I said,
no Kanye Westing. Yeah.
No.
Kanye Westing.
Yeah.
Don't rent the entire stadium.
Yeah. No, and at another person's, if someone does it at my wedding, good God, there'll be something flying at your head.
I think it's time for me to propose.
It's a really bad...
Stay tuned after November 2nd.
Yeah, we'll see what happens then.
Excellent. Well, it's kind of a neat conversation, just kind of talking about the tracks we like and...
Traditions and non-traditions and fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun week for Dale speaking and Valentine's.
And we avoided talking about real love songs, which is great. So, yay!
And you know, and after we're going to introduce a good
song.
No, we're going to introduce what?
Oh, that's right. Oh, I thought it was a love song for a second.
No,
right.
We're going to introduce a track that's perfect for what we just talked about as our song of the week.
Yes.
So.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. So that was Radio Dale number 58. My name is Rue.
I'm Amber.
I'm Dale.
Hi, I'm India.
Because she's not here. If you'd like to find us online, go to dalespeaking.com. You can find us on Twitter, Dale_speaking, on Facebook at Dale Speaking, and we're pretty much all over the place. And if you go to our website, you see our daily blogs as well, which are kind of like daily written versions of the podcast.
Just randomly.
Not actual copies of the podcast, just... like the podcast.
Thoughts and information and stats and complaints and
everything.
Yeah. But we don't have telephones. Just
don't,
kidding.
Don't phone.
Actually, last episode we just gave the number out because we're like, why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't we?
Exactly. And I think that kind of covers it. Any last thoughts before we move to the song?
Happy Valentine's to those who celebrate it.
And to those who don't, enjoy the day
even more.
Enjoy House of Cards.
If you're single, don't be sad on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Get together with those girls or with your boys and you all go out.
Or jump off the Danforth Bridge, whichever comes first. No,
you can't do that anymore.
No, you can't do that. Oh, okay, that's right. You can't
do that. Get big cables up.
That's right. Darn, that's what it...
Can they electrocute you?
Yes.
Oh, that would be really crazy.
So, it would have the same effect. But then you'd inconvenience so many people.
So many people.
Well, no, then it'd be a barbecue.
A barbecue in February? How crazy.
Thank you all.
Thank you. And we're just going to get Amber to introduce...
The Love Locks.
Thank you, Dor. Thunderclap. So, Amber.
Yes.
Tell us about today's song.
Today's song, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, is perfect for this time of year, as well as our roundtable discussion. Mm. And it is from a new duo out of Toronto called The Love Locks. And these girls are fantastic. They just released their debut EP on Tuesday, the Tuesday that just went by, however you want to refer to the Tuesday. And it hit number 2 the day of release on the iTunes Country Album Chart. So we're
very proud
of them. The girls are Zoe and Allie, Zoe Newman and Allie Rainey. Allie is actually a 2-time CCMA nominee for Fiddle Player of the Year. And she's toured with a lot of really, really good people, including Terry Clark, Barbara Streisand, Ronnie Dunn, Jason McCoy, Tara Orem. And she's actually currently, well, not currently, but plays with Terry Clark while she tours.
You had me at Streisand. Also Terry Clark.
Yes. So Zoe and Allie are a perfect duo. They sound amazing together. And like I said, there's already been some really good buzz since they released their EP the other day. So we're going to play one of our favorite tracks off of the album. Hopefully you're going to hear more of this as the days go by. And if you're listening to country radio, CBC, or campus radio, here is the track Teardrop Tattoo.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling you'll be singing it after you hear it.
Yay!
Teardrop tattoo to remind myself, stay away from you. Break my heart, it's all you ever do. So I'm gonna get a teardrop tattoo. When you're wishing I may, wishing I might go riding with you some Saturday night. I give you ink, ask you what you think about my new ink, then I walk on by. I'm gonna get a teardrop tattoo to remind myself, stay away from you. So I'm gonna get a teardrop tattoo. Stay away from you. Break my heart, it's all you ever do.